don't know if you want to turn with me or not. You know the verse by heart, but Matthew chapter 5. Let's once again bow our head and ask the Lord for his help in this part of the service. Our Father, we are once again grateful for your blessings and your presence. And now as we open up your word, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to give us that anointing that is needed. Hide the human as much as possible. Allow the divine to be seen and felt, and especially to be heard tonight. Anoint our ears that we might be receptive to your voice, open to your leading in this service this evening. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Finish the verse for me, will you? The last part. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, it's a verse that we all are very familiar with. The Amplified said that the word blessed or blessed is happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions. Regardless of your outward conditions. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's different directions that a person can go from this verse. I want to go in the direction of spiritual hunger tonight. For us to consider spiritual appetite or spiritual hunger. Hunger is a perfectly natural state, both in the physical as well as in the spiritual. The physical, the natural is that the body hungers. The spiritual, the natural is, God created us the same, that the soul has a hunger for something. There's something down inside of every one of us that hungers for something to satisfy. Hunger for food is the very first instinct of a newborn, I suspect. It's common, it's longed for. If that newborn doesn't have an appetite very soon after birth, there's eyebrows raised, there's questions raised, there's concern that is brought up. Hunger is a natural part, and it remains to be the most powerful natural instinct that we have. You could argue the point, but I think it still comes down to hunger, or the need for food, is what keeps the gigantic wheels of industry turning. Sometimes we may argue the fact that it's, or the idea that it's worldliness or the desire for possessions in that sense that would keep the wheels moving. But as long as you lay all those things aside, there's still hunger. There's still hunger that keeps the wheels of industry turning. And so we find that hunger would be the most constant or the most powerful natural thing that keeps things going that we experience in our lives. The analogy ought to hold true within our spiritual lives, the spiritual world, the relationship of hunger to the soul. Spiritual hunger of some sort is manifested by all people. Everybody. Unless, of course, they've already seared and severed that spiritual connection and they are living nothing more than on the animal level. And if that's possible, it would be where Paul is talking about delusion, strong delusion. More so than what probably you and I have ever experienced even in somebody else's life that we have had connection with. For probably everybody that we know, everyone that we have touched lives with, they have some kind of a spiritual hunger, something within them, even in their unconverted state, that is longing for something to satisfy that emptiness. Many times we find they can attempt to fill it through material gain. They can attempt to fill it through prosperity. They can attempt to fill it through various religious forms and processes. But it's not until they come to know Jesus Christ that we find that satisfaction really is realized. I heard somebody say when they shot a very huge white-tailed deer, they said that they were the happiest person in the world. The happiest person in the world, just because. Now, you would see a smile on my face if I were able to take an animal of that caliber. It was a beautiful animal, something to put on the wall, and some memory and all that. Yes. You would see a smile on a person's face. But to make the statement that they were the happiest person alive, how long does that kind of happiness last? How long does that kind of satisfaction last? You take someone who has won the latest Powerball lottery or whatever the biggest lotteries are. Sometimes they get up into $100 million. Can you imagine winning $100 million? Would that make you happy? Would that make a person put a smile on their face? And yet, how many times do we read about people who would call themselves happy at that point of their life, find themselves years later or weeks later even grieving over what has happened in their lives? Some of them, many of them, taking their lives. There's a hunger down inside to be satisfied. Spiritually, it is there. No matter what we are, who we are, where we're from, there is some kind of a hunger that is going on down inside of our spirit and our soul. A hunger that is natural in the soul just as much as a hunger is natural in the body. But God, but a man whose spirit has been quickened by God has something more than just that base level of hunger. That hunger has now grown to an insistent spiritual hunger, where Matthew is writing of Jesus' words and says that level of hunger has increased to a hunger for righteousness, a hunger for more of God. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Not merely just a hunger to know truth, but for the power to fulfill truth in righteousness. People are seeking and searching for truth, and they claim they find it in various sorts and places. We can know truth, but until truth has been quickened in our life or made active in our life, fulfilled in our life, then we may not realize satisfaction as fully as what is available to us or for us. Hunger is a sign of dependence upon something outside of their being. Something outside. It's a dependence, sign of dependence. The body cannot live of its own self. It cannot supply itself with what it needs. It has to go outside of itself to find the sustenance. So also it is with the soul. The soul can never be self-subsisting. The soul can never be self-propagating. It can never continue on all by itself. The soul has to have something coming in. You and I as humanity are always, very few people, someone may argue with me on it, but it's very few people that can honestly argue the point that a person can be satisfied with the mediocre, with the ho-hum or the humdrum, the routine. A person needs and wants something more daily, something fresh daily, something fresh at least often. Now, if you can live your day without ever a complaint of any kind of change and any kind of difference and any kind of an increase or a freshness into your life, then you are probably a rare breed. On the material side, it never satisfies. You always have to have something more, something new, something fresh. Technology proves that in most of our lives, or in a lot of people's lives. It doesn't prove it in most of our lives because we just don't have it to do or we don't want it, but whatever, it proves itself. You know, how long of a line is there for the new iPhone? How long of a line is there for the new latest in technology? Now, it doesn't matter if it's iPhones or the technical gizmos that are in the hunting industry. It doesn't matter what extreme we go to. There are people who cannot be satisfied with what they have because it's never satisfying. We always want the latest because the latest has something new. The latest has something better. The latest has something more grand. It's thinner. It's smaller. It's more powerful. It's whatever it is. It's got something more than what we have, and we want it. People thrive on that. Sometimes people thrive on that to their detriment. How about our spiritual? Does it hunger for something fresh? If we do not find something fresh in our spiritual life, we will pursue something fresh somewhere else. Hunger. Hunger implies the existing or the existence of some suitable provision for its satisfaction. Some suitable provision. Can you imagine God providing us with a hunger in our body and then telling us that we can't eat? Or not giving us a mouth to eat with? Or for not providing any kind of food in order to eat? But God didn't do that. He provided everything that was needed to satisfy that hunger that the body has. Does he also do that for the spiritual? Even back in the beginning, he did it for the spiritual. Even before Calvary, there was a hunger and a satisfying portion for that hunger even before Calvary. What an idea, isn't it? Hunger that cannot be satisfied, a natural hunger that cannot be satisfied. If there is a divine hunger, a divine desire within the soul or a longing within the heart after God, that shall be abundantly met. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, "Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it." Faithful is he who placed that hunger, originally placed that hunger down inside, who also provides what is needed for that hunger. Spiritual hunger or hunger itself is a sign of health. There is something wrong with the man physically when he loses all interest in food, and there's something wrong with a person spiritually when they lose all interest in the Bible or in church. Spiritual hunger is a sign of health. The absence of hunger is a sign of disease. We probably all understand that. There's something wrong with you when there's an absence of hunger, when the appetite is gone. Now we think that the more abundant food is, the more healthy we are. Gordons are sitting over here saying, but it takes a certain kind of food. It's got to be health food. You know, there's certain things that we don't need to eat. Some things we shouldn't eat very much of. Boy, you know, I love Lay's wavy potato chips. Oh my. We're talking about health food here. There's nothing better than traveling down the road with a full bag and Down the road a little ways, it's an empty bag of Lay's wavy potato chips. Healthy, I'm telling you, it's healthy. No, some of you would debate me and win on that one of whether it's healthy or not. But there's a hunger that must be satisfied. And when we satisfy our physical hunger with foods that were intended to meet that hunger, then we are satisfied and our body is strengthened and our body is nourished and the spiritual life is identically the same when we satisfy our spiritual hunger with what God intended us to satisfy it with. We find satisfaction. We find a healthy condition, not a sick condition. Hunger to be satisfied also involves an action, a suitable action. You sat down at probably a table laden with food today. Most of us did. I suspect that most of us sat down to a pretty laden table of food. Sunday dinner, it's the best meal of the week, you know, it's great. Venison today, pork steaks today, it was just fantastic. Wonder if there's any leftovers. Very seldom in our house. But you know, you can sit down to the best filled table, and that in itself does not satisfy your hunger. There's suitable action that must be taken in order for that food that is before you to satisfy your hunger. You say, this is crazy, preacher. This is so simple. That's exactly right. It is simple. And it's simple for the spiritual as well. We can blame other people for our spiritual lack. Sometimes people blame the church, and sometimes we blame the pastor. Sometimes we blame the Sunday school teacher. Sometimes we blame the kids that are crying around us. Whatever it is that we can point a finger to that hinders us, or we try to say hinders us, but the reality of it comes back down to us. Are we availing ourselves? Are we portraying? Are we giving the suitable action that is needed to take the provisions that have been given and laid out before us? We could come back to a subject that was touched on recently, just in passing, the means of grace. Do we avail ourselves of the means of grace? The secret, so many times, to people backsliding, it's a slow death because of spiritual hunger. They've never learned the secret of spiritual feeding. And hunger unsatisfied leads to ultimately to an untimely death. Isn't that right? Physically, it happens that way spiritually. Someone said that no lesson more urgently needs to be learned than this: how to use the means of grace to appropriate the spiritual nourishment provided in prayer and communion with God, in study and meditation upon His Word, in loving fellowship with Christ in suffering and service for the lost. Did you catch the last thing that he said? A means of grace is service for the lost. And this is just a sidetrack. This is just a side note, but it's a well worth path to travel for us. That we can be an anemic Christian unless we are serving in His vineyard, unless we are doing something of service for lost people. It's easy so many times to sit back and let somebody else do all the work, whether it's behind the scenes or up front. It all has to be done. It all needs to be done. It's all a part, as Jesus tells us, as His Word gives us, that it's not everybody is a hand, or not everybody's a foot, or not everybody's the head, but the whole group banding together in their respective places makes up the body. And that body is the body of Christ. all of us having our place to fill, all of us having our position, fellowship with Christ in suffering, service for the lost. All of these things that this person listed are means of grace. If we don't avail ourselves of what God has laid out before us to supply us with the satisfaction of our spiritual appetite, then spiritually we will lose ground. We will go down. We will weaken. Eventually, spiritually die. What about your spiritual hunger tonight? The promise is that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the promise is that we shall be filled. Do you have a healthy spiritual hunger? Is that spiritual hunger being satisfied? Is your soul healthy? Can we just say it that way? Is your soul healthy? Take your pulse. Take your blood pressure. Get your cholesterol checked. All sorts of things that people do in order to determine the health of their physical body. How about doing the same thing in a spiritual sense about our spiritual health? Are we satisfied with our spiritual life? Food is sometimes not in reach of the most needy. But when it comes for spiritual food for you and I doubt any of us have a reasonable excuse. I doubt that any of us have a reasonable excuse. Because God's word, the means of grace, are readily available to each one of us. It takes you and I to provide the action that is needed to be healthy spiritually. I would like Esther to come to the piano. I hope that there's a paper there as the deer. If not, she may know it by heart. If you have a paper close by in your books there or in your music racks, I have an extra one here if you don't have one right there handy. I'd like for us to stand together and sing it.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone.
Your desire, your longing, as the deer longs for the water brooks, so does my soul long for you, O God. make it a reality. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Is every heart clear this evening? Amen. Crystal, nicely, would you just